Hello and welcome. I'm Dave Mertz, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Simplex Homes. And welcome to our latest in our series of podcasts. Today I have with me Tom Hardiman. Tom is our Executive Director of the Modular Home Builders Association, which is the association that really assists the modular manufacturers, keeps everybody up on the code changes throughout the United States. And Tom really is quite an expert in the business. So welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me on today.
I appreciate it. You know, this is a little bit different perspective because it's really behind the scenes stuff that, you know, you're like an unsung hero that with the items that go along with our industry that a lot of people don't know about. So I know that you know, we're a national association. Simplex is a member of this association. But Tom, if you could you give me an overview of the association and what role that you play in?
Sure, be glad to. Thank you. The Modular Home Builders Association, or MHBA, we're actually the only national organization that is exclusively dedicated to the modular home industry. So it's all we do is residential modular home industry, all we focus on. And really, to boil it down, what we do is we solve problems for modular home builders and manufacturers. And we do that by addressing legislative and regulatory issues that you guys run into frequently, and also by increasing the awareness and the value of modular construction. So really, you could look at it as MHBA is really this forum where companies in our industry can get together, share best practices, learn from one another. And then hopefully we can all collectively, you know, help grow this industry.
Yeah, I've been doing this for 31 years, and I know that, our association started out very fledgling, and then it became very strong. But after the recession, when things were very tight, we lost a lot of membership, both builder and manufacturer. And we really are in pretty good shape right now. And, you know, can you explain the benefit that, because we have two different people that are probably listening to our podcast. And one would be the builder who might be interested in becoming or getting involved in modular housing, whether it be Simplex or one of our competitors, and the residential homeowner as they're trying to educate themselves. So I guess for the residential homeowner that's thinking about building, how does the Modular Home Builders Association help them?
Great question. So, we've tried to create our website as a free resource for potential home builders. There's a lot of information on there, a lot of articles about financing a home and budgeting basics, as well as a lot of different floor plans available, whether it's Cape Cod, Colonial, plans that your companies and our member companies can build and deliver for the customers. But it's really kind of an information clearinghouse. It's a way that someone sitting at home can get online and get good information about the modular industry without necessarily getting the sales pitch from a specific builder. And then when they're ready to talk to a builder, we can direct them to a builder in their area and make that connection. But kind of an information clearinghouse, a way to educate consumers, and frankly, a way to dispel some of the myths that have been kind of hanging around this industry for years.
You know, and that's a great point because, you know, the one thing I forget about because I'm in the business is we get a lot of information requests sent to us from our website. And, you know, you'd be shocked how many people don't want you to contact them after they send an information request because they don't want to talk to a salesperson. So this is a great, almost kind of benign way that somebody can do their due diligence before they really start to shop.
Yeah, we think so. We've set it up that way, so it's a no-pressure situation. Plenty of floor plans available online, lots of articles, lots of the home of the month, so they could see, you know, everything from very small, you know, 1,000 square foot homes up to, you know, I think we have 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 square foot models on there as well. So tried to set it up in a way that's user friendly and, you know, no pressure. We want people to become a little more educated before they reach out and, you know, request a quote from a builder.
Well, and even with the builders that are thinking about getting into building modular homes, it's a great way they can educate themselves. And, you know, after you're a builder in our industry, you know, the association plays a key role in keeping its members informed about the changes in potential codes or things that are regulatory that if we have to challenge a specific state on what we might think is an unfair regulation. So, I mean, that's all the stuff that you do.
It is, and that's really a bulk of what the association does. It's why the association was created. You know, I've been the director since late 2012, and when we took over, you're right, after that housing crash, there were only a handful of members still involved in this association, and Simplex was one of those. And we've built it back up from 3 members to about 140 members today. One of the big changes we made, historically, it's been a very manufacturer-driven association, almost exclusively manufacturers. We changed the name of the organization. We changed the website. We really went after builders as an audience, prospective members, and have seen pretty strong growth on the builder side of the equation. And, you know, we think that just strengthens the overall association.
Yeah. That's so true, so true. And you're a great neutral arbitrator when it comes to the different manufacturers, because, you know, there was a time when I first got into this industry that the manufacturers didn't want to share any of their knowledge with each other. And what the association and you have done is found a way to bring those manufacturers together and work in everybody's interest and not be so concerned with proprietary information, because, you know, if one modular manufacturer has a problem or new legislation comes out in a particular state, it's going to affect everybody. And, you know, just my little kudos to you, because you're able to keep all the players on the playing field going in the same direction.
Well, that's a good point, and really that's why an industry has a trade association. And I think that's, you know, telling of our industry that we are maturing and becoming more of an industry rather than a collective of a bunch of manufacturers. We see all the time manufacturers willing to share their information and best practices and case studies so that everyone can learn from what they're doing. I cannot tell you how many times, and you've been around, you know it, if there's a bad story about a modular home, it not only affects that manufacturer and that builder, but it affects the whole industry.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to say, well, I was going to build a modular home, but look at this one. Something went wrong. So that's out. It's kind of like we get one chance, and then we're done.
Right. But, and so many times people don't, and as you said, they need to understand the modular housing industry, and some people simply just do not. They think it's a mobile home, which that's a whole different animal in itself. And I know the marketing campaign that the association put together has strived to give clarity to that and what modular is all about.
Yeah, we did. It's going back, oh gosh, maybe 4 years, we created a consumer awareness program, or CAP is the acronym we call it. And really what we do is ask our manufacturer members to contribute $10 per floor to this collective marketing initiative. It's the only industry marketing effort out there that promotes the modular home industry. So we get those funds, and then we try to go out and you know, whether it's online or radio spots or banner ads or what have you, portray modular in a positive light. You know, here's the advantages. Here's some case studies, things like that. And try to, again, dispel some of those myths that exist out there. It's been challenging for sure, because once somebody has a preconceived notion of what a modular home is, it's hard to change their opinion. But what we're finding is there's a whole lot of new potential home builders out there that have a favorable view of modular construction. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, the environmental benefits from building this way.
Well, I remember, back when I first got into this industry, a major complaint from the consumer was, you don't do a good enough job in trying to educate us what modular really is. And I think that's also done a great thing. So people can, you know, again, anonymously research the industry and decide for themselves without sales pressure on them if modular is for them or who they might want to do business with. So
sure.
Anyhow, I'll ask you the one question that I've asked every one of my guests on the podcast is, you know, with the pandemic, how have you been doing business under the circumstances? And then part B to that question is, what indelible changes do you think will occur in our business as a result of the pandemic?
Okay, thank you. The trade association itself, we're doing fine. You know, we've benefited by having strong, steady leadership on our board for several years. And frankly, we take a pretty conservative approach to our fiscal policies. So, you know, we have no debt. We have good cash flow to pay the bills. So the entity, the trade association itself, is doing fine. That said, the association really is nothing more than, you know, representative of the industry at large. And we know there's a lot of builders and manufacturers that have really been hit hard by this crisis. And we may not feel that impact in our office here until, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now when we ask people to renew next year or come to our conference later this year. So right now we're okay, but we're still being, cautiously optimistic about what the future holds for us and still being a little, conservative on some of our spending. Probably not unlike a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. People were anxious to get out of their quarantine, and some areas, you know, still face huge challenges, like New York City area and Long Island and areas in New Jersey as they try to work their way back into a bigger the bigger picture of getting back to business as normal. But everybody that I know was very anxious to come back, but is just still wondering and cautiously optimistic about the future. We know that there's a big demand for residential housing, and which kind of leads me into another one of my questions is, you know, we're already getting reports from our builders that people are leaving the metropolitan areas, whether it's, you know, New York City or Philadelphia, and trying to look into more of a rural area so they don't have to experience this again. Is the association getting any feedback on that, like from the request for information that's on your website?
Yeah, a couple things I'd like to touch on there. First thing is, during this crisis, our website traffic actually increased, and it's probably because more people were at home, more time on their hands, kind of surfing the web. But we also point out that, you know, in times of uncertainty like this, interest rates are still historically low and real estate is still a very safe bet. So with all the other uncertainties, it almost makes sense, you know, now the time to actually buy and build. And, you know, I'm a bit of an entrepreneur at heart. I can't help but thinking there's a lot of opportunities for people to do smart decisions right now if they're willing to take a little bit of a risk and say, I'm going to go build my house now while rates are low, while the builders are looking for work. Maybe I can get a more competitive price. It would be very smart to do that if you're a consumer. We've nationally, I'm sure you know the stats, we have a housing shortage in this country, particularly on the affordable housing side. A lot of people equate that to urban areas and multifamily projects, but that's just not what we're seeing. We see it across the board. We've had commissioners from rural counties here in Virginia call us and say, you know, we have housing shortages here, and how can we use modular construction to help address that? So it's everything from inner cities to suburban and rural areas that all have housing needs. And they're not just looking for modular, they're just looking for solutions, housing solutions. And we think we can be part of that conversation.
Yeah, I remember when I first started in the industry, is the owner of the company said, you know, we don't build any particular kind of house. We build shelter. And when you address it that way, you can kind of cover the spectrum of building and not classify yourself as, you know, we build entry level, we build move up, we build high end custom. But we really, you know, we are in the industry of providing shelter for one and all, whether it's ownership or rental. And it's humbling when you think about it that way. And you can understand why, you know, what we do is really considered an essential business. They're providing homes and actually economic stimulus because, you know, I always heard that in the economy, the car industries and housing really drives the overall economy. And it's important that that we're hitting on all cylinders so we can do our part, not just for supplying homes, but keeping the economy on board.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So, you know, what is Tom Hardiman's biggest challenge in your job that you're facing right now?
Oh, wow. You know, I think our biggest challenge is really the same as it was before this coronavirus, and that is educating more people about modular construction, from consumers to new builders, and really to policymakers that are, you know, writing the rules and codes that we have to live by. Educating those people about modular construction, and like I said earlier, in many cases, kind of correcting misinformation that's been out there for a while. So it's such a massive audience, and to this day, I think you mentioned it earlier, you're still kind of amazed that some people have no clue whatsoever about modular homes and modular construction. And it just means we have a lot of work left to do.
Yeah. And it's not like we just started. I think modular homes have really been around since World War II in earnest. And maybe even before that, because you had Sears